Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It's better. 10 lepers. Now, if anyone saw them coming, they would yell out, "Unclean, unclean," as a way of warning other people. Now the 10 call out to Jesus from a distance, and Jesus sends them to the priests to be healed. So Jesus was either burned out that day or just delegating. We'll never know. But either way, all 10 are healed. One turns back, throws himself at Jesus' feet. And the literal translation here is to fall on one's face, that word prostrate. Falling on one's face. The healed man falls on his face and thanks Jesus. One turns back. Now, at some point, this one felt this impulse to turn back, and he followed it. Now, maybe all 10 had that impulse to turn back. To turn back in praise and with humility and gratitude, but only one follows through on the impulse. And this one, we learn in the very next sentence, is a Samaritan. So if scripture were to come with sound effects, we would hear dum da dum dum. A Samaritan, a leper, and a Samaritan, doubly disliked, doubly outcast. And Luke goes out of his way to point this out, as does Jesus when Jesus says, "Were not 10 made clean, but the other 9, where are they? Was none of them to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Now, being a foreigner and remembering that you were once a foreigner is at the very heart of the Jewish people's faith. Commanded by God is this repeated phrase over and over again. Remember that you were once foreigners in a strange land. Remember what I, your God, did for you. And this theme of remembering lives at the heart of Judaism, and in this morning's scripture, it comes in the form of turning back, literally turning back. But remembering also lives at the heart of what we do at table. As I mentioned last week on World Communion Sunday, when we come to the table, we hear these words, "Do this in remembrance of me." So we too are called to remember everything that God has done for us, continues to do for us, and will do again. And as we remember, we enter into this new life, one that's changed by the very love that we receive through Christ. So now I'm going to share with you a story, because as God would have it, God gave me a story this week, a story that fully illustrates this very scripture. So sit back and enjoy, because it's long, but it's long and it's really good. This is a modern day illustration for what this scripture is teaching. It starts out sad. 4 homeless men were killed on Saturday in Chinatown in New York City, and their heads I'm going to spare the sweet little boy that's in here. I'm not going to give you the details. You can fill them in yourselves. It was violent. Now, in the spaces where the bodies once slept, they're filled now with candles and flowers and handwritten tributes that flow onto the sidewalk. But there was something else left at the site. Fresh boxes of hot pizza were stacked at each memorial site, and with them a note that said, "I wish with all my heart that I could have been there at that very moment to protect all you guys." The pizza and the notes came from Haki Akendez, a 39-year-old immigrant. And the author added, "You know me as the pizza guy." And then he revealed something from his own past. He wrote, "As a former homeless man, I know the struggle that all you guys went through every day." Mr. Akendez is Kurdish. He was raised in Turkey, working in cafes making something called lahmacun. It's a flattened dough topped with spiced meat, and he aspired to make its Western cousin pizza in the United States. And he arrived by bus in New York in 2001 with $240 in his pocket and a promise of a bed at his friend's apartment. But when the friend changed his mind, Mr. Akendez moved into a dingy motel on 42nd Street and watched his meager savings dribble away at $30 a night. So broke, he spent a few nights huddled with his bags in Grand Central Terminal. And someone pointed him to the Bowery Mission, one of the city's most well-known homeless shelters in the heart of the city's Skid Row. He writes, "I stayed there for 96 nights. He busied himself in the kitchen, chopping onions and washing dishes and looking for work, making pizza. But his English was poor. And then he noticed a woman at the mission reading a Turkish language newspaper, and she helped him find a listing for a job at a Mediterranean shop, a pizza shop in Hoboken, New Jersey. So he showed up in New Jersey in unwashed clothes, and the owner was skeptical. He thought I was so dirty and unclean," recalled Mr. Akendez. "And desperate, he asked, 'Can I make a pizza?' I was shaking," he says. "I was so nervous, and it came out no good, so I said, 'Can I make another one?' And then after a few failed attempts, the owner hired him, but to wash dishes. And that night, Mr. Akendez slept on a bench across the street from the restaurant, returning early the next day, and the next night he slept in the basement of the pizza shop's building. And then later that week, the cook gave him a tip. The cook said, 'There's a building in Sunnyside, Queens, where the super has an assistant who did odd jobs and lived rent-free in the basement.' Well, the assistant was looking for an assistant. Same kind of perks. He said, 'The boiler room is all yours. You can sleep in the corner.' A year later, he had saved enough money to move into an apartment with a roommate. He got a new job in early 2003 washing dishes at a restaurant on 9th Avenue in Hell's Kitchen. And on St. Patrick's Day, the regular pizza maker didn't show up to work. And Mr. Akendez was promoted on the spot. And he spent 5 years there improving his skills. In 2009, he found a tiny pizza shop on the Lower East Side that was for sale. And by then, he had saved up $40,000. And the shop was just this little oven with a counter in front of it. And it cost twice that amount. But the owner agreed to sell it to him, setting up monthly payments. And so Mr. Akendez immediately fell behind in the first payment, and the second, and the third. And the man he owed told him, 'You pay me, or else I'm going to put you in the oven.' And the little man didn't know, little did that man know, that to save money, Mr. Akendez was already sleeping under the oven, locked inside the shop every night until another worker opened the padlock gate the next day. And then a breakthrough. Mr. Akendez entered a pizza making contest in 2010 at the Javits Center. And to stand out, he threw and spun his pizza dough after setting it on fire. And he won first place. And he was featured in a cover article in the PMQ Pizza magazine, which gave him thousands of copies that he then handed out outside schools in the neighborhood near his shop. And the teenagers laughed and called him Champ. But they also bought pizza slices. And then he says it became just busy. Busy, 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 he says. He paid off the shop. He heard of another one for sale nearby. He made an offer, and that was accepted. And now with two places, he figured he needed a brand name, because everyone has to brand, and he thought of the nickname that the teenagers had given him. So now he owned two shops called Champion Pizza. He bought a third place and a fourth. He improved his ingredients, making his dough extra light and importing organic sauce from Naples. He bought a fifth place and a sixth, stretching out to Soho, Union Square, and Columbus Circle. His seventh, which opened last year, is near the building in Queens at his old corner in the basement. And along the way, he became something of a pizza celebrity, known for his flashy acrobatics in tossing the twirling dough, flaming or otherwise, and for building giant pizzas. And he has won international pizza making competitions, and his Instagram account has 3.5 million followers. And if you don't know what Instagram is, you're not missing anything. So while building this small pizza empire, Mr. Akendez never forgot his time among the homeless. He passed out free slices to street people who came around asking, and eventually he started a weekly food and clothing handout on the stretch of a sidewalk on West 34th Street. But his outreach extended beyond pizza. He found a nearby barbershop that agreed to cut homeless men's hair, and a gymnasium that was willing to let them use their showers, and he paid for both of those services. He also regularly distributed pizzas to the homeless in Chinatown and on the Lower East Side, becoming known among them as the pizza guy. And then last weekend, he was having a meal with friends when he learned that these four men had been bludgeoned to death in Chinatown and that the police believed that the killer was another homeless man. And when he learned of that, he was deeply shaken. He had to excuse himself. And then he said in his interview, "How could you?" Meaning anyone. He pointed to a man sleeping on the sidewalk nearby. He says, "That guy over there, how could anyone do that?" And then on Wednesday, Mr. Akendez and one of his employees carried 16 small boxes of pizza to a waiting Uber, placed them in the trunk before making the short distance to Two Bowery, where one of the victims was killed. And he placed several boxes on the ground next to the row of candles, removing the empty ones from his previous visits. And a passing man pushing a shopping cart stopped, and so he handed him a pizza box. And then in large letters, its cover read Champion Pizza, and below in smaller print, "Made in New York with love." This man, this foreigner, once homeless in a foreign land, never forgot, and remembering changed the way he lived. Most of us have never been foreigners in a strange land. Most of us have never been homeless or suffered leprosy. Most of us don't know what it means to live in exile. So we're all left with this challenge. We can hear a story like this or listen to this scripture and think, "Wow, it's so nice." Or we can let it inspire us to remember our own stories of struggle, because there's not one of us in here who has not experienced a time when we thought we wouldn't get through it, whatever it was. And the more we turn back to remember, the more likely we are to feel a gratitude so deep that we have no choice but to pay it forward. There's this question that I ask so many of you when life throws challenges your way. I'll ask something like, so where's God in all of this? Or how is God showing up in all of this? Or is God showing up? Do you feel God showing up? In the story of the pizza guy, I imagine that God showed up in the Turkish woman who helped him read the newspaper, or the guy that gave him his first break, or the owner of the storefront who sold it to him at half the price, or the teenagers who bought his pizza and gave him a nickname. But most importantly, in his own ability to persevere in the face of adversity. When we're aware of all of the ways that God shows up and reassures us that we are not alone, the more we nurture a sense of gratitude for a God that never abandons, the more likely we are to return that gratitude by the way we live. Yeah, we may never have experienced homelessness or leprosy or living as a foreigner, but we know chemotherapy. We know illness. We know life-threatening situations that include war or abuse or depression and addiction. Some of us know what it means to feel self-isolated or even just to feel self-disgust. And some of you are in that place right now. And the rest of us, who are in a pretty good place right now, because of God's grace, we should be remembering. We should be remembering and turn back in gratitude by helping those who are in it now. And those of you that are in it, your only job is to accept the love of God who shows up in a myriad of ways, a God who never abandons you and embraces you no matter how far away you feel. And when the day comes that you're fully healed, turn back and give thanks by what you do next. Amen.